Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message by some of our pastors here at the Rock.
Okay, hi, girls. Can I say hi to them?
Do it and tell them a little bit about you, Miranda.
Hi, everybody online. I know that you're out there online, that you are probably in front of some sort of screen, and we are just so happy that you're with us tonight. I am so happy to be here. Did you want to introduce me or do that, you know, that whole thing?
Okay, so this is my sister, my big sister, Miranda Bosman, and I call her Mida.
Yeah, I'm Mida. In fact, my license plate says Mida Girl, all because of you.
Because I was little and I couldn't pronounce her
yeah,
name.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we are 10 years apart, and Luke is 14 years apart from her.
And should we say anything?
We are new aunties! We should have put a picture
of
him
up. What were we thinking?
He's the cutest little baby in the whole entire world.
Yeah, he is the cutest, I have to say. I had four boys myself, but yeah, this one trumps them all.
We're
There's no
gushing
doubt about it.
Over
yeah.
here. He's, so we all might have
heart.
To take a road trip. So,
yeah. Are you hot too?
Oh my gosh.
So it's okay to be like
mine?
Hot? Yeah, I've got my own. Woo, it's warm
it's
up
like
here.
Like menopause. Okay.
Menopause?
Yes.
Not yet.
Girl, it's real. Okay.
Okay, anyway. Okay, we're sisters, you can tell. Okay, so anyway, so let's...
So tell us about who you are, your church, and tell us about Chris, because that's kind of cool.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, Pastor Jess was up here earlier, and she was saying that she was originally from the Rock Church, and you guys sowed her to us maybe 10 years ago. I want to say it was around 10 years ago. 10 and a half years ago, and she's been nothing but a blessing.
Oh, good.
But she is a product from this house, and so we're so grateful for her.
We
and then
Jess.
Chris, who you got to meet during the offering, is my future, like 6 weeks future, daughter-in-love.
Woohoo!
So we're super excited about that. So we're so happy that you
so
two are here.
So would she be my, like, niece-in-love? Is that what you would
yeah.
be? Oh, niece-in-love. All right,
yeah.
Awesome.
Niece-in-love, yeah. Yeah, we're not in-laws, we're in-loves, right?
No. So, okay, so Rock Church of Temecula,
yeah.
and you guys are having your first drive-in service on Sunday night.
We're not actually doing a drive-in. We're actually doing an outside gathering.
Ooh,
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so.
I know we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Churches have had to get so creative
yes,
in this.
Yes, we
you guys are doing a good job.
Definitely creative.
They are killing it online. You should go check them out.
Yeah,
all the
it's
cool
fun.
Stuff that they're producing
yeah.
is amazing.
Have you all been online before you came back? Yes. Yeah, it's not the same, but thank you, Jesus, for online,
yes.
right? Because I think about us maybe 10 or 15 years ago, if this had happened, it would not be the same.
No, I would wonder if we'd even have a church
yeah,
when we got
it's
back.
It's so true.
Yes.
It's so true.
So we want to tag team this message. And so my PM girls, where are you guys at? Because I know I have AM and PM. Woohoo! Hi! Hi, PM girls online. So we have AM and PM because we
yeah.
have a lot of working girls. And
yeah.
so we do that about quarterly.
Yeah.
And we had to cancel our GNO this year. And I was so
yeah.
bummed as time was ticking. Things just kept getting canceled. Even Mother's Day at the church. Like all these things. And so I just want to say you women are amazing. And I love you. And nobody has been so on my heart except for you. I think about you all
yeah.
the time. I wonder how you're coping. Are you okay? Are you like new? Teachers, your teachers, how many became teachers this season? Yes. How many of you have ripped your hair out because the children are driving you bonkers? And how many of you need to get your hair done still?
Oh,
yes,
yeah, definitely.
All right.
But,
so it's starting
know,
to open
even,
up.
Let's not even just talk about the children. Can we talk about the husband? I mean, seriously? You know, we're all about the children, but hello.
You're I mean, stuck in that house, right? And you
with
didn't
your
know.
Man,
yeah.
who you love, who you, you know, devoted your life to, and you at least thought that you would have some sort of space or some time
no.
away.
No.
And after how many weeks?
Mm-mm.
There he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Do I sound like there's a I've got a few issues going on here?
Well, Miranda has four boys.
That's right.
And they're all adults and they're
three
all
of them
home.
Are home. Yeah, two of them still are in college, so they came home because college was ending quickly, and they were going online. So I have three grown adult boys at home and my husband.
Yes. Which
so
four?
That equals like four. 14. Because,
yes.
you know, when you guys, when you say, you know, I loved this, can we just chat for just a second?
Do it.
Is this okay?
Do it.
So, you know,
we
when
could
we were,
cut out a point.
When we, yeah, we might have to. So when we were doing a point and when we were doing the memes, when the girls were doing the memes and that one lady was in her garage, you know, in her
yeah.
car. and she's hiding from her kids, right? And her little kids, you know, are like, Mom, where are you? Listen, I have grown adult children. They don't stop doing that.
No.
They still do that. They're still like, Mom, what's for dinner?
Yeah.
You are 21 years old. Why don't you tell me what's for dinner? You were home all day.
All these years, it's their turn.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, they have to pay for that.
Okay, I need to get over my issues. I have to tell you.
We have a class called Breaking Free.
I need it. I need to write a letter. I need to write a bunch of letters.
And I think it's going to be really full when this quarantine is completely over.
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt.
Because we all need it. So, no, it's true. And I saw this meme where it was this lady had made a banner in Italy. And on the banner it said, please, somebody, husband for sale. I was like, wow, she really did that.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I love my man, don't get me wrong. But boy,
Dan is a stalker, so like.
So is Hanny.
I will like go in my own space and he's like, hi.
Yeah.
It's like sneaky man.
Where are you? I miss you.
Yeah.
It's like I'm in
Why
the
next
room. Why
do you want to be with me? Because I want to
okay,
be alone.
Okay, we need to move on. We clearly need to move on. Otherwise, you guys are going to be needing to minister to us tonight.
Okay, but we really, it's our job to minister to them tonight.
I know,
okay.
Right? Sorry about that, girls.
Okay, so Proverbs 31 p.m. we went through last year, right? So that we called that the I am her girl.
That's
because
so cool.
We found out who we are in Christ through Proverbs 31. And then so what we did through that series, the Lord spoke to me in December, and I said, what are we going to do next year? And he said, well, now that the women know who they are, what do you think they're going to do with it? And I'm like, I don't know. And he began to walk me personally through some things that I always talk myself out of. Does anybody else talk themselves out of anything? Like, I'd like to try that. Oh, never mind. I don't think I know how to do that. And I do that to myself all the time. I didn't realize that I do that, but I do.
Yeah.
And so the Lord was like, you need to become an I can woman. Instead of just I am her, you can do this. You are more than enough. You've got this. And I'm like, yes, amen, heaven. But oh, I don't know if I'm really, you know, grasping this.
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me and he said, what was the last thing that you talked yourself out of? And I was like, and it was dumb. I went on Pinterest and I wanted to make this big knitted blanket. Do you girls remember me talking about the big knitted blanket? So I went on Amazon and I bought this really thick yarn, and I actually was supposed to bring the blanket and I forgot it today.
What?
But I have a picture because this is when I first started it. That sucker is like the size of the whole couch now because I didn't measure right, and it has cost me so much money because I have to keep going now. But I made this massive knitted wool blanket and or cotton actually, and the dogs love it. I find Dan wrapped up in it, and I'm like, everybody get out of my blanket. It's mine. I can blanket. And so I did it, girls. I made the blanket.
Isn't that awesome? I'm so proud of you.
Well, the coolest thing about it was while I was knitting this blanket, I was by myself when I first started. It was like 5 a.m. I love to sneak away when nobody's up. And so it was me, Lucy, my dog, and the blanket, and Jesus. And so I'm knitting this blanket, and you knit with your hands, you know? So I'm putting it together, and I heard the Holy Spirit go, do you know what this blanket is a representation of? And I said, no, I don't. And he spoke to me, and he said, all the things that you have been broken about over the past 5 years, all the relationships, all the places that have hurt you so deeply, all the things that you felt that you would never see again, the things that you just kind of gave up on, I'm here to tell you that as you knit this together, that I'm going to knit back every single one of those things that the enemy has taken from you. And I cannot tell you today that is fully in restoration, because Miranda, you're sitting on this platform with me, and we didn't always talk.
No,
and
we didn't
have our space together always.
Right.
But now we are like, we talk too much.
We're 6 feet apart.
I know. But we talk way too much. We talked too much on the phone today, and we were like,
gosh.
Oh, we need to shut up.
Yeah. It's
like we have to talk
to
the girls.
This girl does not know how to be quiet. I'm sorry. Did I say that out
loud?
What
did you say?
No, I'm just kidding. I will say, though, that growing up, we used to call her Mouth. And we called her Mouth for a reason, because she loved to talk, and she still loves to talk. Just what she says now is about Jesus,
amen.
And we love that about her.
And before it wasn't.
That's true. And but we'll leave that for another
my
day.
My sister and just enjoying my siblings, and we are all having fun together,
yeah,
doing life
are.
Together. I mean,
yeah,
Luke
good.
Called us and FaceTimed yesterday with the
yeah,
baby.
With the baby.
It was just so cool, and I'm watching God bring people into our lives and growing beautiful relationships and nurturing.
Yeah.
So I'm here to say to you, if God did it for us,
yeah.
God will do it for you and your family.
Absolutely.
And what God tries to rip, or what the devil tries to rip apart, which we're watching on the news, we're watching
yeah.
on TV, we're watching in marriages right now. I'm here to say that if you keep Jesus the center, keep your hearts right,
that's right,
keep that fresh anointing in your life and in your forgiveness of your heart, God will begin to knit, just like my blanket, everything back together
so
because
beautiful.
You are the ICANN woman and he's on your team and he's got your back in this. And so that would just be my little, like, 2 cents of what I learned. Like, I knitted that blanket
yeah.
and God knitted everything else.
I think that's wonderful. I have a little story, and I'm just going to be vulnerable for a moment. If all of my rock girls, my Temecula girls, you know, I have a tendency to be vulnerable because one of the things that I really believe in is that, you know, God uses anybody. He'll use anybody who's willing, who says, yes, here I am, Lord, right? I mean, for goodness sakes, God used a donkey. He used a jackass, right? He spoke out
of. You can say that here.
Exactly. Can I say that? Well,
yeah,
I just
the Rock
did.
Church
so
of
if
San Bernardino.
I couldn't, and it was live.
They
it's
say
too
worse.
Late. But the reality of it is sometimes we don't think that. Sometimes we don't realize that. Sometimes we get in our own funk. And I think sometimes, you know, we can blame the enemy a lot of times, but sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Sometimes we are our biggest obstacle. And so that's why I love this whole I can, you know, who I am in Christ, I can because of him, I can. And a couple of years ago, it's been about 2.5 years ago, I went through something in my life, and it was nothing that was tangible. It was simply my kids had all left. My youngest son had gone off to college, and all of my family members from Africa. My husband is from South Africa, and he has family that comes over, and when they come over, they stay for like 6 months. And so they had all left, and so it's me and my husband in this big, huge 6-bedroom house. And church was, you know, we had moved into our new building, and, you know, ministry was going on, and it just, everything was just kind of like dull. Everything was just kind of like gray. I just wasn't satisfied in my soul. And I needed to get away with the Lord. And so it just so happened that there was something that was going on with one of my kids out, and he was at going to ORU in Oklahoma. And so my husband said, you need to go. Just go out there and just go spend a couple weeks out there with the kids. Landon and Silas were both out there. And so I went, and I spent 2 weeks in a hotel room with me, my Bible, Jesus, and it was the most amazing time of my life. It was such an experience. And in that time, I knew that my soul had just gotten, I don't want to say weary, I just think my soul had just gotten dull. It had literally just gotten to a place where I had taken so many other things and just put them before God, not even realizing it. And good things, my children, my husband, my ministry, my church, other people. And so God slowly but surely just kind of just kept going down and down and down on my list of priorities. And I needed to get back to who I needed to get back to in order to be who I needed to be. And it worked out so well for me because later on that year, by the end of that year, I stepped into something that I had no idea I was going to step into. And God knew. He knew before the foundations of the world, but he knew because he was already in my future of what was going to happen. And so he took me and he woke me up and he said, girl, you better get going here. There's something going on. We need to fix it. And so I was my own worst enemy. I was my own obstacle. And I'm saying all that to say that I can person, maybe there's something going on in your life. Maybe it's something little. Maybe it's something huge. To me, like I said, it wasn't big, but it was huge to me. Maybe there's something that you want to do that you can't do. Maybe there's something that's keeping you back. But you know what? You've got the Heavenly Father, the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who speaks it, and boom, there it exists, living on the inside of you. And more than anything else, and girls, I'm talking to you online, more than anything else, He wants you. And he wants you to be his number one, and he wants to be your number one. And so if we can just remember that as we're going through this in the I can, just having that foundation of who we are because of who he is, but because of what he's done and because he loves us so much, right?
It was like your own personal quarantine.
Oh, it was, and it was good.
It was good.
It was good.
Maybe what we need to do for the rest of this is we need to just put aside some time like you had to get ourselves spiritually strong and to build up our muscles in our faith, build up our faith again and not get into that weary, because I know, I don't know about you, but I've been weary in this quarantine. There were days I would wake up crabby and I'm like, why am I crabby? You know, and it was just normal, I think, to do in your hearts in different seasons. So you were in transition.
Totally.
And that's a season of mourning what was.
Absolutely.
And trying to step into what is new. And those are very hard places. But in transition, I've learned, because Dan and I just went through this massive transition coming into this building and becoming senior pastors and working through all different things that came with that. And in the transition, I have to say that the Lord removed so much in order for me to find him as my center. And then
beautiful?
He brought it all back.
But beautiful?
Because it was all out of priority. And it wouldn't have been the right priority if he wasn't the only.
And I don't think we even realize it sometimes, right?
Mm-mm.
It's just something, it's the difference between what's an urgent and what's important. And sometimes we take those urgent things and we tag them as, okay, got to do this. And then the important things just kind of just, you know, work themselves down or out.
Yeah.
We don't even realize that.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about the scriptures that we were talking about, because there's some pretty phenomenal women
story.
In the Bible that are I can women. And, if you have your Bibles, turn with us to Numbers 27, and we're going to read 1 through 11. And, Miranda, I'm going to have you read this.
Okay.
Because I want you to say his name.
Yeah, I'm going to just kind of throw a disclaimer out there right now that we're reading in the Old Testament, and I love the Old Testament. But there's a lot of names in the Old Testament that I don't pronounce very well. And so we're going to read about the daughters of Zelophehad, and I'm not sure Pastor Teresa, she's giving me the thumbs up. But I said that great one time. I probably won't say it great again.
Say it again.
Zelophehad.
Oh, that's a good one. Yep. That's the newest name in with babies.
Okay.
FYI.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the name Zelophehad, and we're going to condense it. And we're going to call him Zelo.
Zelo.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
Is that okay? And I mean, no disrespect. I just want us to get what
the
story is.
Yeah, we got to get past his name and look like idiots.
Okay,
when we
so
read
this
it.
Is in Numbers chapter 27. So we're going to read quite a few verses. And I did not bring my glasses up, but I can do this.
Oh, do you want me to do this?
I think
I can do it, sis. I got your back. Okay. Numbers 27, 1 through 11, it says, then the daughters of Zelo, the son of Hefer. Heifer? That's not Heifer.
Here we go.
We didn't ask Teresa the theologian that one. Okay. The son of Gilead and the son of, oh my goodness.
Yes, right?
Makira and Mansa and the families of Messiah and the son of Joseph. Mom and Teresa are dying right now. And these were the names and the daughters of Ma, Noah, on and on. Okay, verse 2. And they stood before Moses. Okay? So there were five daughters. They stood before Moses and before Eleazar, ooh, I can say that one, and the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle of meeting, saying, our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those that had gathered against the Lord. Hold on, and the company of Korah. Miranda, can you tell us what was happening with the company of Korah?
Okay, so we know that Korah had formed this rebellion against Moses, and so he got a bunch of men involved, you know, and so there was this huge rebellion, and so they were killed. How's that?
Kind of sounds like nowadays. Okay.
I'm trying to speed this up a little bit.
This is like the best Bible story you're ever going to hear. Okay.
Right?
But he died.
They were bad people.
This is serious part.
Yes.
You can't laugh. Okay.
No.
But he died in his own sin.
Talking about Zelo. Zelo died
Zelo
in his
did.
Own sin.
And he had no sons. Now that is not that bad, but we don't think it's that bad. But it was bad in those days because the sons carried all of the authority.
Yeah,
they
and
had,
the rights.
They got
I mean, they got everything.
They got everything. And they had just taken a census in this time, mm-hmm. and only the men filled out the census. So yeah. think about that. Like, if there was a man in your house, he would maybe name you on it, but you had no authority, you had no place, you were kind of just there to yeah. make babies.
Barely
okay.
counted.
So why should the name of our father be removed from among his family? So see, their father's name will not be carried on.
Right.
And because of this, because he has no son, give us a possession among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. I love this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelo speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers, and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies, he has no son, then he shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he had no daughter, then he shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then it shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then they shall give his inheritance to the relative closest to him in his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be to the children of Israel and the statue of judgment, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Mm. I find this so powerful. I was like, why do we randomly pull these daughters out, right? Why did God name them? Why does God talk about them in the Old Testament? The coolest part of this is that these women were named in several places in the Bible after this, because they left a mark for the people of Israel. They changed the law of the land. They did something unrecognizable and not even even important, like they were seen as unimportant, but yet they went out there, they stepped out there, and they decided, I'm gonna do something about it. I'm gonna be an I can girl, and I'm gonna go get my inheritance, and I'm gonna possess the land. And that's exactly what these girls did.
Yeah.
So I often try to put myself, and I know we were talking about this
yeah,
today,
big time.
That when you are reading a Bible story, girls, don't just like think about it like that was a long time ago. That's irrelevant. It is not irrelevant. The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what happened back then is a lesson for us today. And so in this, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, if I was these girls, what would my world look like? Here's my dad who died, and I was blown away by, here they were together, at least they had each other. You know, we have each other, look around. You got your girlfriend right here. All of you online, say what's up to your girlfriend right there online, because we are the body of Christ and we have each other. And they had each other, and they went to the tabernacle. Miranda and I were talking about this. The tabernacle was a very holy place. There were a ton of rules wrapped around the tabernacle. And I'm sure being a woman yeah. was not one of them. And so here they were, and they stood at the tabernacle doorway. I think about that, and I think that makes me insecure. I would probably be insecure about the whole situation, like, ooh, we got to go and... I don't know, guys. I don't know if we should go do this. You know, what if they turn us down?
Yeah.
You know, the talking yourself out of it? I bet you they went through that, right? How about this? Well, how about you do it, and we'll stay behind. You know, give it to the strongest sister. She's going to go represent the family. But they did it together in unity. And they went and they stood at that doorway. And I thought of it as a very afraid moment. I think of that message that one of the most amazing women in the body of Christ, I can't remember her name, but she said, do it afraid. And you're going to...
Joyce Meyer.
She always taught, do it afraid. You know, and this was an afraid moment. They got there, and Miranda was like, well, wait a second, what's the other side to this? I want you to explain the other
yeah,
side
so,
to it.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been marinating on this story for the last couple of days, and I was thinking about these women. And here, you know, kind of what I got out of it is that these were strong women,
yeah.
and they were single women. And so can I just say to all the single ladies, out there, these were single ladies, and they were amazing, because what they could have done, they could have been manipulative. They could have acted all vulnerable. They could have acted like, oh, I don't have a husband. I don't have my father is gone. They could have gone. They could have gone out and they could have married somebody. They could have played any of those cards. They could have played that victim mentality card, that victim card, but they did not do that. They said, no. We know what it is we want. We know what it is that belongs to us, and we're going to go for it. So they were strong, single women, and I appreciated
yes.
that about
and
them.
And they weren't those, like, feminist women that are,
no.
like, hateful.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's not, they don't get anywhere. Mm-mm. Right? They only just bug everyone. Mm-mm. But the woman that comes with a meek spirit. Mm-hmm. And my daughter and I were talking about this on the way here, and we were talking about a meek spirit is power under control.
Right.
And it is a place where you understand who you are in Christ. It's a place where you understand who Christ is in you. And you're okay with that.
Yeah.
You're fine with the way that God wants to use you. And you don't care what other people think because you're good with who you are. But you know that you carry an authority and you know who you are. And there was a meekness in their approach, but they were going after what was theirs. And sometimes I think that we walk away from things a little too easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes we step away from the blessing because it might look a little complicated. We step away from the promise because God said, it's yours, go possess the land. And you're going, well, if you're God, you just do it for me. And God is saying, no, we're in this together. You do your part, I do my part. And I believe God is calling us as Christians to begin to do our part. It is time for us to step in. This quarantine is shaking us. This quarantine is testing you. This quarantine is rocking you. What land do you need to begin to possess? What new places is God asking you to cross over? What new territories is he wanting you to step into? What new mindsets is he asking you to die to and step into some new ways of thinking? What is it that the Lord needs us to do in order to see his return? Because we are not here on our own terms and for no reason. We are here because we are here to usher in God. We are here to put God on the earth and put Jesus into people's hearts. This is not for any other purpose. And these women did this all those years ago. And girls, we're sitting here with rights today. We're sitting here known as women today because the five daughters of Zephilo or whatever his name is went out there and said, that's my land. That's my inheritance. That's what I'm asking God for. And so when you feel like maybe insecure or maybe you feel a little prideful. Ooh, now what does pride look like in women? It does not look the same as men. Men peacock. They got their beautiful feathers showing. You know, have you seen the birds and they're the prettiest ones and those are the men? It's crazy. It's real. And so like men do that. Do you have husbands that stare at themselves in the mirror longer than you do? You're like, really? It's so weird. And so men do this. I have boys. I catch Micah all the time doing that. And so the women, though, we are prideful through insecurity. It's like the reverse. Don't
it's look. Like it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same spectrum, but it's opposite ends.
Opposite ends.
You know, you've got pride on one end and insecurity on the other.
Yes.
And they're both just numbing.
Yes.
You know, and they keep you stale and they keep you from being
they
productive.
Do. And don't you think insecurity actually produces manipulation?
Absolutely.
Because you're feeling bad about yourself, so you're going to manipulate things to be the way you want them to be so that you can then maybe possibly feel better about yourself.
Yep.
And this is an unhealthy nature. Turn on the news, you'll see it. You're going to see it when you go to school. Your kids are in school with a whole bunch of people comparing themselves to each other and trying to be like someone else. Why don't they just be them? Because that's who God made them to be. But we as mamas got to teach our babies that you are more than enough and that you are good just the way you are. And that you don't need to be like so-and-so and so-and-so and look like so-and-so. But you need to be who you are because God created you that way. And I believe these daughters had an understanding that it can't be our insecurity that stands at that door. This cannot be manipulation that stands at that door and expects to get a God result, because God sees past our insecurity. God sees past manipulation. He's not a fool and he will not be fooled. And so when we come to God, we come with pure hearts. We come with meek hearts. We come with humble hearts. And God says, oh, I hear you, daughter, and let me give you what it is you petitioned me for. And that's what this story is so powerful in. And so we have some lessons in this story that we wanted to pull out. Miranda wanted us to, she had a whole bunch of really cool points, and then I had some, so we kind of blended them together. So if you're writing them down, things that we need to know to be an I can girl from these women. Number one, we have to overcome our insecurity and not walk into manipulation, which we've been talking about. And I wanted to talk about getting over some of our weaknesses in this. You know, when we become insecure because we look at ourselves and we beat ourselves up. You said this in your story earlier, that you were your own worst enemy. I myself am my own worst enemy too. And I can never be okay with who I am. And there are things that in our minds we look at and we think, oh, I've gotta have legs like that girl, or that girl got boobs, I'm gonna go buy some. Or I got these fake eyelashes on right now, girl. See, I just took them off because they're magnets. And I have to take the other one off now, okay, because that's just stupid. So, like,
I'm so glad that was you and not me.
Because I don't have eyelashes, okay? And so these are the things we do as girls. But I wonder what God in heaven looks down and says, you see it as weak, I see it as beautiful. And if we could begin to change the way that we see ourselves, I believe that heaven becomes pleased. Because when we beat ourselves up and we say, well, I'm just not good at that, I can't learn that, I can't make that blanket, I'm not crafty like mom, that's what I was telling myself. Mom can do anything. Stacy can do anything. I'm bad at everything. And then God was like, well, you can be if that's what you want. And I was like, well, I don't want to be bad at everything. Well, then why don't you try? And it was like, yeah, okay. All right, God. And so what do you need to try? What do you need to get over that is weak? What are some hard places?
I think that we spend so much time on our weaknesses, on the things that we can't, instead of celebrating the things that we can and the things that we do. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing about the Spirit of the Lord, about the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, is so many times in my lack. I mean, I've got lots of lack, and I'm the first to admit it. But even in my lack, the Holy Spirit will say something like, yeah, but you can. But you can, and then fill in the blank, whatever it is. And how many times in my life have I had to look at myself in the mirror, not like Micah, but look at myself in the mirror and talk myself and say, you know what? You are a child of God. You are a princess. You are royalty. You need to act like it. Your heavenly Father, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What are you doing acting like this? What are you doing thinking like this? And I do that to myself. I'm totally telling my secrets right now. But I do that to myself to just get my soul kind of going, because my spirit man knows who I am in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And sometimes my soul is saying, are ya? Because the enemy of my faith wants to come into this 6 foot, this 6 inch space right here and say, no, you can't. No, you don't. No, you aren't. And when my spirit man rises up and partners with the Holy Spirit and says, yes, you can, because of who He is, it changes everything. Absolutely.
Why don't we do this for a second? I want you girls to stop, and I want you to introspect for a second. All of you online, have a moment and just think about something you've beaten yourself up over this week. Okay? Just put it in your mind for a second. And then I want you to just pretend like you have it in your hand. Okay? Whatever that is. That you just weren't good enough, or you beat yourself up over, or you didn't look a certain way, or whatever. Okay? Now I want you to put it up towards heaven. And we're going to just release this. And we're not going to carry this home with us today. Because you are the I Can woman, and you are strong, and God has created you, and He loves you. Lord, we just commit these things that we have beat ourselves up over, that you have actually put in us to overcome. And Lord, we ask that you would go before us, and that when these thoughts come back and when these ways come back into our lives, that, Lord, you will remind us of who we are in you. And Lord, that we would step into some new places and leave those old things behind. And right now, we just release them to you, release them to heaven. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you are going to fill our hand with new capacity, new strength, new boldness, God. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. I love this verse. It says, Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Listen, when we beat ourselves up, everyone does it. You're not the only one. Just stop for a second and go to the throne room and stop being so hard on yourself, because God died on that cross so that you don't have to live with guilt and shame. He died on that cross so you don't have to be wallowing and hurting all the time. But He went on that cross so you can live in freedom here on earth. Isn't that good news? So good. Number two. Do you want me to introduce
you
it?
You started.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, the I Can woman. She has to be bold in her faith in adverse times. Does that sound like us right now? You've got to be bold in your faith. You can't be quiet and weak in our faith.
Yeah.
The devil comes at you hard. The Word of God says that he's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. It's like he's waiting on the prowl. And whenever he sees a weakness, he's going to go after you. He's going to go after your family. He's going to go after the things that you love. He's going to get you. But this is where a woman says, oh, no, 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 no. Not my family, not my heart, not my mind, not my church, not my finances, not my job, not my country, not my community. And that's where the woman of faith stands up and says, not today, Satan. You don't get to play that game in my court. You don't get to take that territory and that ground. Because when a woman stands and she stands boldly, those women stood at
those
that door.
Those women stood.
They stood. They could have kneeled.
Yeah.
They could have sent a little note and said, when you have time, maybe you could come talk to us and we'll meet you on the land.
Yeah.
But no, they went to the tabernacle. They went to where they know things could get done.
Yeah.
They went and they sought God out. There is only one that can get something done on your behalf, and his name is Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you don't know what to do, you get bold in your faith. The other day, something happened in our home, and we were... found ourselves in a place of uncertainty as a family, and right away we could feel the fear jump on us, all of us. And right away, I just love my daughter. I'm so glad I trained her up well, because she preached at me and she was like, Mom, I just did Psalms 91. And then I was like, yeah, that's right. And so I started speaking Psalms 91, and I got back in and I got into the Message version. I'm like, ooh, Chloe, check out the Message version. And we were pumping ourselves up. And then all of a sudden it was like, we were good, because we went boldly in faith past that thing that was trying to jump on us, which was fear. And so you're going to get back out into the world right now, and you're going to be afraid. Because the uncertainty of, what if I could get COVID, and what if this is happening, and what if somebody sneezes on me, and what if? But I'm here to say to you, what if you use some faith and the word of God against this demonic evil disease, that God said that he went to the cross for all disease and all sickness, that he bore that on himself so that by his stripes we are healed. And so I'm here to tell you that no matter if you get it or not, faith jumps in and says, oh, you got to go, and you will not overtake my body. And every person we prayed for in this church has been healed of it. Every single person has been healed. And so I'm here to tell you today that God works, that faith is what you need, and that faith in adverse times is where we need to stand, girls. Because when our family is tired and weak, and when we're frustrated, somebody in the family has to stand at the door and say, well, then I will contend for my family. I will contend for my community. I will contend for my church. That's who you are. That's what God wants you to pour out of you.
Yeah, and I love that they stood. You know, and the Bible clearly says that. The Bible also names them by name. We didn't really go through the names, but they were named. They weren't just the daughters of. They had names. They were individuals with their own names. They were recognized. And when you read that and when you see that, you got to remember that they were standing in the presence of a bunch of men. And it wasn't just men. It was like bigwig men. It was like the top of the top. It was the leaders. It was the priests. It was Moses. It was the all of the congregation. So the intestinal fortitude that these girls had, the guts that these girls had to do that. And I know this is speculation, and I'm going to speculate. This is my opinion.
So but this is not Bible.
I have a feeling that they went before there because they were going in the confidence of knowing that this belongs to me, because they knew their promises. Because when you read back in Exodus, you know that when Moses is on the mountain and he's talking to God with the burning bush, and God says to Moses, I've heard the cries of my people. I'm going to rescue them out of Egypt, and I'm going to take them to a land of milk and honey, to the promised land. So that was a promise, and they knew that. Fast forward, that was in Exodus. Fast forward to Numbers, the chapter before. This land, this promised land now, is being divvied up. They haven't actually seen it yet, but it's being divvied up, and they've
got... They're going to miss out.
They're going to miss out because their father is dead and they have no brothers. So because they knew the promises that were for them, because they were daughters, and because they were daughters, they said, no, I am not going to sit back. You cannot tell me, once again, speculation, but you cannot tell me that these were the first set of just all girls in a family ever. I don't believe that they were. I'm sure that there were probably other sets of just all girls that didn't have it. They didn't have the guts. They didn't have the intestinal fortitude. But these girls said, no, absolutely not. And it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder, like, how were they taught? What did their father say to them? I wonder, their father knowing that, you know, there's going to come a time when I'm not going to be here. You're not married. You don't have any brothers. What's going to happen? How are you guys going to have provision? And I, you know, once again, speculation, because I'm so full of that tonight. But maybe, just maybe, maybe he taught his girls. Maybe he told his girls about the promises. Maybe they listened in when the men were talking. Maybe they actually read, you know, when the law was being read. Maybe they actually tuned in and heard and took it personally. How many times do we read the Word of God? How many times do we hear something and we say, oh yes, that belongs to me, and then we walk out of those doors and we forget it. The enemy comes right at us, and they said no. They stood for what they believed in and what they knew was theirs.
Ooh, come on, girlfriend. I love that, you know, in 1 John 3:22, it says that whatever we ask, we receive from him, capital H. That means God. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, I was reading this verse, and the Lord kind of pointed out the dad to me. And maybe he wasn't in the group of Korah, but they said that he died of his own sin. And so these girls did not want to be connected to their father's sin. And they went after their own inheritance with God, their own relationship with the Lord. So listen to me. You may come from generations that didn't serve God. You may come from a generation. You might be the first generation that is plowing ground for the ones behind you. But these girls said, he died in his sin. But then the Lord showed me this, and the commandments, and we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. The Lord said these women had pleasure. I had my pleasure on them because they came to me and they requested of me and they were pure in my sight. They loved me and they went after what I had for them. What is it today that God has for you? What bold ask do we need to begin to ask God for? What things have we stopped asking for because we've become discouraged? Because life gets weary, and maybe we've been in transition, and it's time to step out of transition into a new pattern. Maybe God is pulling some things out of you and requesting some things of you and demanding some action from you. And these women were ready to step in, to stand up, and to ask what was a bold ask, that we want our land, because nobody else deserves our land, but our family does. That is our property. That is our land. That is our inheritance. That is our generations down the road. And they contended for them. And you see, what in your bold ask is behind you that will reap from it? Your bold ask today will affect many behind you. Go to the throne room boldly, girls. Go out there and possess the land. Take it for what it is. These were smart girls. These were smart women. You are smart women of God. I don't care what they say about you. I don't care if you've got your master's degree or don't have your master's degree. I don't care if you graduated from high school or did not graduate from high school. God has given you the mind of Christ, and God has equipped you that you are strong and that you are bold. And when you put your mind to something, that he will teach you, he will direct you, and you can go to the best school you've ever gone to. It's called the School of Holy Spirit and Hard Knocks. And he will walk you through life, and he will take you through it, and you will learn your greatest lessons from heaven that way. And so let's be intelligent women. I love this. Matthew 7:7-8, it says, keep on asking, and you will receive whatever you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking at that door, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Ooh, isn't that a good promise from the Lord today? I love that. Number three, this is our last one. The fight now is for the future. These women's fight were for the future of generations. They were spoken about many books into the Bible. They actually would talk about inheritance and land and refer back to these women, because that's how much they changed the whole entire culture of their people. Isn't that amazing? Do you want to be a culture changer? Do you want to be a people changer? Do you want to be a God pleaser? Because there's a generation behind you that needs you to fight now. There's a generation behind you that needs to draw a line in the sand and say, I don't care what your friends are doing, but in our house, this is not what we do. There's a generation that needs you to stand bold and firm for the righteousness and the right things that are coming across. There's a generation now that needs to teach our kids that racism is wrong, and that we need to teach our kids that no matter who we are, that all of us are loved by God and that's deserve right. to live that's and live right. free that's because right. that's what God gave for humanity. Yes. You see, somebody has to teach the children, and let it be the church, the women of the Most High God, that teach the now, that fight for the now, for the generations behind us. You see, there's a fight, and it's worth fighting for, girls. There's a fight on our hands right now. This COVID-19, all of the broken marriages, all of the depression, oh, yeah. all of the suicidal thoughts, all the things that the enemy is spewing on the world right now because he sees us as weak. But church, we're not weak. We are ready for our fight. We've been trained for this. Swords out, shields up, girls. Let's get going because there's generations that are relying on us. Stand bold in this time.
That's right. And not only that, we are an influence. We are an influence to our world. And each one of us has our own sphere of influence. And some of us may have a larger sphere than others, but there are people in your life that I will never, ever touch. There are people in your neighbor's lives that maybe your other neighbor will never touch, but God has specifically appointed you to that neighbor and to that time and to that home. And I love what Matthew 5:13 says. It says, "Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth." Isn't that so good? That's the message. The salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. And when I think about these women, when I think about what they did, sure, they went and they stood and they petitioned and they asked and they beseeched and they did everything that they did for them, but it wasn't just for them. It was for all women. And knowing what they did for all women, they literally changed the laws of Israel. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. But not only did they do that once, if you fast forward to chapter 36 of Numbers, it happened again. They actually did it again. They're referred to again because the chiefs, they come in of all the tribes. Now, you have to remember, these are the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And so the chiefs, there's chiefs of every single tribe, and the families, they all come in, and they're going to Moses, and they're saying, okay, wait a minute. So we understand that the laws have changed. Who likes change? Definitely not everybody likes change. And maybe the men didn't like the change at that time. Who knows? But they said, there's change. And so because of this change, we have a bit of an issue. And the issue is that these women, that if they get married, and if they marry outside of our tribe, they marry into another tribe, that land that belongs to us, that is our tribal inheritance, is now going to belong to a different tribe. So what are we going to do about that? So once again, Moses went to God, and he, you know, said, God, what are we going to do? And so God said, yeah, you're absolutely right. So this is what we're going to do. Those women, they're going to be allowed to marry who they want, but within their tribe. And so they did. They married within their own tribe, and they kept those laws of inheritance going. And so it wasn't just a one-time shot. It was twice. They changed laws. I mean, how awesome is that, right?
I could preach a whole new message on this one, too, because if you think about salt, what is it used for? It always makes something taste way better.
Yeah,
like mom
definitely.
Loves salt. Like
it
my mom is
does.
Like, woo, salt. Yes. Titus, my son, he puts salt on everything. And it makes things taste better, right? But salt also preserves.
Right.
And so these women were salty, and they were the salt of their generation.
Right.
And they were preserving for the generations, for the future.
Yeah, for the future.
And they were stepping into some new things. And then even them coming together with their tribe. You know, God says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Don't go there, Pastor Jess. I'm living with my boyfriend. Okay. Is he serving God? Because God says, do not have sex before marriage. I know this sounds so old school, but somebody needs to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that are God's way and there are things that are the world's way. And if you want to do things right by God, these women did things right by God and got God results. And so these women preserved themselves, and then they married within their tribe because that's what God asked of them. That means that when we are dating an unbeliever, don't think that you're going to missionary date girls. This is for free, okay, for the single girls. You will end up hurting yourself. It doesn't usually happen the other way around. And so you need to find a godly man. Fall in love with the God inside of that man.
Right,
you
right.
are a king's daughter.
Yeah.
You are chosen by God. And not just anyone gets the right to have your hand or be close to you. And they need to wait until they put a beautiful ring on their hand and they promise God that they're going to take care of you and value you because you are valuable in the eyes of your king. And I don't know why I said that, but that is for someone out there that needs to know that you're valuable.
It's very good.
And God says that to preserve these things, an intelligent woman knows this.
Right.
She knows who she is. She knows that the generations behind her need her to do this. I think about our kids. I think about their generations. I love that song,
that
The Blessing.
That song, The Blessing, yeah.
It's a blessing over us women. Take that for yourself and run with it.
Yeah.
Take that for yourself. And you're saying, well, I don't have any kids. I don't have that next generation. Oh, but you do. Because it takes a village to raise.
Yeah.
Children.
Yeah.
And you may not have your own, but who is in your world that you can pour into? You know, I tell Teresa this all the time, but Teresa is my hero. She is like auntie of the year, and she always has one of her sister's kids, and she's pouring into her nieces and nephews. She creates an open home for her family to come and enjoy, and it's a beautiful picture of heaven. And just maybe Teresa went through her own thing, and I know she did, but God said, oh, I'm going to bless you more with more than you would even have on your own. You have more and more and more, and God gives her more and more, and I see God blessing her life. Do not allow what you feel is not to become your stumbling block, because these women, they didn't have anything, and they said, no, that's not going to be my stumbling block. I'm going to find a way around this. I'm going to find out what God wants from me in this, and I'm going to approach the throne, and I'm going to do it for the generations behind me. As I watch women be women of God, I see generations behind them following and having someone to look up to instead of, you know, the next recording artist that has her pants, you know, so tight and down to the ground all at the same time, and tattoos everywhere and cusses every other word. You know, that is not someone to look up to. The one to look up to is a godly person who has a beautiful heart, who cherishes what God cherishes, who loves people unconditionally, who doesn't have to be in the spotlight but can be in the background and know that God sees them, and that's all that matters. That's who you are, girls. That's who God sees. That's what you're doing for the generations. And I'm here to tell you, keep going, keep fighting, keep plowing, keep going. You have this. I love these women. 2 Corinthians 6:11 through 13, it says, this was a verse that the Lord really spoke to me to tell you girls about. And it says, dear Corinthians, I cannot tell you how much I long for you to enter the wide open, spacious life. Ooh, yes, thank you, Jesus. Get us out of quarantine. We didn't fence you in. The smallest you feel comes from within you. Woo! God didn't make you small. You made you small. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a very small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. The world is yours, Rock Church and World Outreach Center and Rock Church Temecula girls and anybody who's listening right now. If you are born again of Jesus Christ, the world is yours. It's time for us to live expansively. It's time for us to expand our borders, extend our tents, make new ways in the desert. You see, God is birthing something out of his church in this quarantine. There are new paths that are being plowed, and we all get to be a part of this beautiful, beautiful story one day. I saw a picture of my brother today, and he was in a mask and taking little Soren home, and he had him in his thing, and he had the mask on, and I thought, what a picture that is. He's going to explain that to little Soren. One day Soren's going to be like, Daddy, why were you wearing a mask when you were taking me home? Oh, you were born in the middle of a quarantine. But you have a call in your life, little man. And he's going to be able to pour into him. You see, generations are waiting for us to fight now.
That's right.
So, girls, we've got this.
You know, that just kind of leads me to just one last thought that I just had when I was reading about these girls. And that was, you know, at the very beginning of chapter 27, and it says that they stood. But it gives their names, and then it says they stood. And I thought about that, and these girls were walking in unity. These girls were all of one heart and one mind doing this together. And I just got to thinking and pondering about that. And I thought to myself, you know, we're in a company of just beautiful women tonight here online. What would it look like if the body of Christ actually got their act together and started walking in unity? What would that look like? And I think that that was one of the reasons why I was just so blessed that you asked us to be a part of this, is because it's got to start somewhere, right? It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. It doesn't matter who you call pastor. It doesn't matter, not the foundationals, but maybe some of the other things, you know. It doesn't matter. We all belong to Jesus Christ. We all belong to the family of God, right? And I just think about that. Imagine one heart, one mind, doing life together instead of on social media, instead of picking each other apart, instead of criticizing and being catty about things, instead of adding fuel to the fire, add water to the fire, get that fire out, be love and be life. Love people to life, but be that person that God has called us to be. What could we do? I'll tell you what we could do. We could do what those five girls did. Those five girls changed the laws. Yeah. Those five girls set a new precedent in their nation. What could we do, girls? Yeah. Let's love one another. Let's walk in unity. Let's be who God has created us to be together. Let's link arms and take hands. Doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter where you go. It makes no difference, because guess what? We're all going to spend eternity together anyway. And that person, let me just tell you this, once again, speculation, my own opinion. That person that you are struggling with right now, that person that maybe you're having a hard time forgiving, if you don't forgive them, God's going to put you right next to them in heaven. You guys are going to live next to each other in heaven. So I'm telling you, get it right here on earth. Okay? That was, once again, my opinion.
Free. That was awesome.
I love Galatians 3. I'm gonna close with this verse, and it's the Passion Translation. And it says, "You have all become true children of God by the faith of Jesus, the Anointed One." Wow. We all have, by Jesus. It was faith that immersed you into Jesus, the Anointed One. And now you are covered and clothed with his anointing. Girls, you are anointed, you are appointed, you are equipped to do what God has called you to do. Don't you dare let the enemy of your faith come and tell you, I can't, you can't. You know what God says. He's already anointed you. You say, yes, I can, in Jesus' name. And we no longer see each other in our former state. Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ, with no distinction between us.
Good.
Woo! Right?
Wow, that's powerful.
Let's live
no
in this.
Put that up again for me real quick. I just want to say the world is a hot mess right now and everyone's at each other. But look it, they must have been dealing with racism back then. And look at God. He's saying, and we no longer see each other in our former state. That's our worldly man, yeah. Jew nor Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we are all one in unity through our union with Jesus Christ, with no distinction between us, with no distinction between us. Church of the living God. We cannot allow ourselves to be like the world. We have to be set apart and separate. You have to fight and contend for your children and for the generations behind you and contend for unity.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.